Good to be with you all this morning. I must introduce myself. This face hasn't seen this pulpit yet. Or you haven't seen this face at this pulpit. I should say that. Well, years ago, there was a man who was nearing the pinnacle of his career, a true American success story. He was a high-octane corporate executive working 8 days a week and pulling down close to $1 million a year. He probably had a house here in Naples. But one day, he heard a voice calling to him. Not any voice, but the voice of God. And God told him that his life was over full and his priorities out of whack. Now, like any good husband, when we hear such words from heaven and are shook to our core, we go straight to our wives. They can speak to us in some ways that others just can't, right? And we go for some needed love, some comfort, a little bit of an ego boost probably, which he did. And with his wife, they spent much time in prayer, that they would more fully understand and unpack this word of the Lord. And while in prayer, the man felt moved to recommit his life to Christ. And that is where the fun really began. As they took steps to re-examine, reprioritize, reorder their lives. First by quitting his job. Second by moving the whole family into a more modest home. And third by coming back to God with open hands, wondering what is next. And God is good. And he answered their prayers and led the man into a new career of building affordable houses for low-income families who could purchase these homes interest-free. It was such a phenomenal idea that churches began to get into this and send their youth groups to go and help with these building projects. I even got to do it a number of times in my own youth group in high school and in college. And so have many of you probably here at St. John's through our outreach here, working with other volunteers with Habitat for Humanity. You see, the Lord was up to something, and he wanted to use Millard Fuller as his hands and his feet to do it. But in order to use him fully for God's greater glory, Fuller had to reorder his whole life, his family, his lifestyle, and become the person he truly was, living out his life in Christ. As St. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Not apart from him, live with him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is basically saying here to the Christians in Rome is this, Werdas was du bist. Did I do that pretty well, Peter? That's German. It's supposed to be German. It's supposed to be German from Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, become what you are. I just speak the English, that's what I speak. But become what you are. And I think that's our word for the day. In our epistle from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, he explains to them the doctrine of sanctification, the process of becoming holy, which begins when we turn our lives over to Christ Jesus, dying to self, and then living for God, working out our salvation, becoming what we are, living into who we are. This week in the calendar of saints, we remember two gigantic examples of lives that were transformed for the sake of the gospel and two of our greatest leaders in the early church. As we recall the life of St. Peter and his confession of Jesus as Messiah and St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, both being commemorated this week on June 29 in observance of the tradition of the church that they both died as martyrs at Rome during the persecution under Nero in about 64 AD. And both examples of really ordinary people who simply turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. And then their lives were reordered and transformed. And then they went on living out who they were called and transformed to be. As disciples of the Lord Almighty, as contagious Christians who God wanted to use, did use in mighty and extraordinary ways to bring others into the kingdom of God. Now, beloved, this decision of handing one's life over the Son of God has been laid at the feet of every man, woman, and child in this world. Laid before all of us to be picked up, grabbed hold of, and run with. It is the message that Jesus presented to his disciples, that they in turn took out to the streets the lost sheep of Israel. And then after Jesus' death and resurrection, the same message which is taken out into to the ends of the earth. It's a message we presented over and over and over ad nauseum this week at our vacation Bible school. Christina and Lainey heard it over and over and over and over. It's a message that was modeled for me in my life as I was growing up into ministry and laid upon me 10 years ago this week as I was ordained a deacon. It's a message that we are all called to live out by virtue of our belief in baptism. The message of love, of grace, of forgiveness, of transformation from death into life, that we would all know peace. Yes, peace. Even though in our gospel lesson we have Jesus saying he did not come to bring peace, but the sword. Yet, beloved, we know that Jesus' message was and is a message of peace. That is, a call to have peace with God. Not an estrangement, but peace with God. Fulfilling the message John the Baptist was calling the people to embrace as they were baptized with a baptism of repentance, who we also remembered yesterday was the Feast of St. John. Anyways. But he called the people to die to self in order to be yoked to God. Yet this message inevitably brings with it division and hardship, hard choices. The kind of division that splits churches, that splits denominations, that splits families and friends. For at the heart of the gospel message, there is something that is flat out not going to sit well with some people. Hearts and minds may be warmed by the message of love. Souls be overwhelmed by the message of grace. They may embrace the need for forgiveness in their life, and relish in the thoughts of hope of salvation in heaven after death, a life abounding in joy. But it is that which undergirds all of this that leads some people to say, no way. God's forgiveness is fabulous until you realize that accepting it means acknowledging the certain fact to which St. Paul so eloquently stated, of which no one can escape, no one can deny, because it hits us all where we live, when he cried out, "What a wretched man am I?" He says, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." And this desire that tempts us, that follows us, prowling around looking for someone to devour, St. James says it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. We kind of say, ow. St. Paul doesn't pull any punches, does he? He tells it like it is. That's why I love him. And the only way to deal with this reality of sin and death is to surrender all, is to surrender. Maybe some of you need to hear that word today, to surrender. As we surrender all to the one who alone can save us from this unimaginable death, which is life apart from God, we let God in. We are born anew when we are urged then to and expected and led to embark on this new journey, this new direction of life. As the Peace Corps would say, taking up the hardest job you will ever love. Yet in life, as we follow Christ, it doesn't come easy. There are difficulties, as we hear in our gospel lesson. Because as we try to live out what we are, hardship will come, division will come, because people won't understand it. And it's culture, countercultural. And so then we look to others who have gone before us, who can help us. Like St. Ignatius, who said, be more zealous than you are right now. Be more zealous than you are right now. Learn to understand the times. Expect him to come who is above time, the timeless one, the invisible one who became visible for our sake, the untouched one, the one beyond suffering who came to suffer for us, who in every way endured for our sake. Toil together, he says. Fight, run, suffer, rest, and rise up together as God's stewards, champions of his table and his servants. Please him who is your warlord, him from whom you will also receive your soldier's pay. And let none of you desert the flag. And let your baptism remain your armor. Faith, your helmet. Love, your spear. And patience, your weapon. Beloved, the key for each and every one of us is to become more and more what we are already by virtue of our belief in baptism as children of God. Holy and pleasing to God, not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind through the power of the Holy Spirit as we walk with him each and every day. And why do we do this? It's in Scripture that we would be able to discern the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. It might mean some changes. It might mean some hardships. It might mean some divisions as we walk in God's light on his path, losing one's life for the sake of the gospel, laying it all down, surrendering all that we are, that we would truly live, living each and every day for God and his purposes, expanding the realities of the kingdom of God all around us, doing all that we can to fit oneself into that which we have already been made. Think about that. Chew on that today at lunch. We are called to fit ourselves into that which we have already been made, becoming what we already are. And as we do, we become this contagious Christian that people are drawn to and want more and more in their own life. They see a fire, the Spirit that was within you as witnesses of the Lord, the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness that's offered to all. And then they will want it too. To surrender their very lives, being transformed and truly living in the splendor and light of the Lord. Become what you already are. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.